Heavenly Father, we come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. Father, we confess our sins, so we cling with the blood. Father, I confess my own sins in particular. Lord, I repent of my sins. I receive your forgiveness, a cleansing and a purging of our conscience from all dead works of serving God. Father, as I come to share with your people, I do not take this privilege for granted, but I humble myself under your mighty hand. I duck under the covering of my spiritual parents, pastor and mommy. Let that covering envelope me today. To help me to speak indeed as an oracle of God, that as the word goes forth, Lord, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. To do our internal and eternal work in the hearts, in the name of Jesus. Let our wills become more humble. Let our minds be further enlightened by the revelation of Christ's life, and our emotions be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As I preach your word this evening, I ask for help, Lord God, to cause yokes of broken, needs of men, glory to go to the name of Jesus, and blessings unto all sons of men. Help me to bring out of the treasure of the world things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Help me also to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Lord, let us be set at my right and trust now. Give me what to say in this hour, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message this evening is Walking with God. Let's say it together. Walking with God. Walking with God. You see, walking with God in this day has become very, very important. As I go on, you see how it ties along. Mommy shared with us, and then what Pastor Kunle shared on Sunday. That powerful message was so powerful. You know, I'll encourage you to go and download it and listen to it so you can understand, you know, better some of the things that were said. So we can begin to walk in them. Praise the Lord. Walking with God, I'll simply define it the way it came to me. Walking with God is keeping pace with God, staying in constant communion and fellowship with God in our thoughts, in our words, and our deeds. It's very important. Walking with God, like I'll repeat again, is keeping pace with God, staying in constant communion and fellowship with God in our thoughts, in our words. That basically is in the thoughts. God, the Bible says that in the book of Jeremiah, says, my thoughts towards you are of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God speaks to us through our thoughts. See, hardly God speaks through an audible voice, but usually it's not that you hear, not always like that. It's usually through your thoughts. Then there are times you can hear the audible voice. For example, in the book of John, when God spoke to Lord Jesus Christ, some people said he thundered. Some people said that an angel spoke to him, and then said, it is the Father that spoke. So you can see the difference. As we go on, you understand why some people said it was that he thundered. It was the same thing. And some people said, we have grown more. They said, an angel must have spoken. That it was clear. But for the son, that's why we have to go to become son. It was so clear. He said, this words came not because of me, but for you. But they did not hear. Some said he thundered. Some said an angel spoke to him. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? God desires that we should learn to walk with him daily. Let's say together, God desires that we should learn and practice walking with him daily. It's very important, especially in these perilous times we are in. And as I was preparing the last minute, I just checked something, and I remember Pastor late Papa Higgins said something that Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him when he appeared to him. That was the time, I think it was in, either he just started his ministry and was just all moving to another level. And Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. He said, if you are too fast, you get out ahead of me. That means you are not walking with me or behind me. That means you lose direction. At least if you are walking behind me, I'm still leading you. You all get that? Lord God appeared to him and told him, said, look, let me paraphrase. Find the time that I should walk with him, but that don't go ahead of me. Because when you go ahead of me, that means you lose direction because you will not see me. That Bible says, my sheep and they follow me. He said, but even if you cannot keep pace with me, I following me, you be at my back, so that if you're at my back, at least you can see me, I can lead you, which is very important. That's why you understand, right? The Bible of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 4, talking about the Ark of the Covenant. We all start there. Nobody starts to walk with God, at the same pace by pace, step by step. See, when you say you are walking with somebody, that means you are neither in front or behind. But it's still better for you to be behind than to be in front. Are you following me? So that's why they told them, that instruction in the book of Joshua, when they go to enter into the land. And they said, Joshua chapter, are we there? Says, yet there shall be what? A space between you and it. What is that it? The Ark of the Covenant, the four priests were carrying, which speaks of the fathers. Are you following me? And about 2,000 cubits by measure, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. That is, you see, we begin our walk with God by following those that are carrying the ark, the presence of God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's very important. So they told them, so that's what God, Lord Jesus Christ was telling Carnegie when he visited him. I said, look, follow me. Are you following me? So that's how we start our walk with God. We don't just wake up or get born again today and start walking in step with God. It's not possible. We still don't know why it's not possible as we move on. Praise the Lord. So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ told him. And I put it, I said, we should endeavor to learn how to stay right in step with God, obeying his will and moving in his timing and his divine direction for our lives. Then Papa again said something. He said, God will not agree with your own plans and purposes. It's not possible. That if you decide that, if God decides to go this way, and then you go this way, I follow him. He's not going to change direction because of you. So you had better just forget your own plans. Like Mama used to say, there is no second opinion. God's will is final authority. And from that's why you see, I'm getting out of this. That's why he told Peter. You see what I'm saying? You know, I quoted Joshua now. They have to follow some people. That's why he was telling Peter in the book of the last chapter of the book of John. He said, when you were young, you went with us wherever you went. And not connect when he told him. It was when they left where they were supposed to be and went to fish. And the Bible says they caught nothing. That means at that time, they were not walking with God. Peter was supposed to be carrying the ark, led the others astray. And they caught nothing. So he said, when you were young, you went with us wherever you will. But when you are old, spiritually speaking, another will guard you. That is the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, I will send unto you another comforter. Are you following me? He will guard you and take you where you do not want to go. What is that saying? That is, there's a contest between the flesh and the spirit. Your flesh wants to go this way, like Peter wants to go and fish. But the Spirit of God expected him to go and wait in the upper room. Are you following me? So you see, God is not going to yield to our own opinion in terms of leading. So we are the ones that must come to terms with that reality and begin to walk with God. Praise the Lord. So let me give some examples as we move on. Let's go to the Bible's book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. Excuse me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. What does it say? And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. That means before this time, he wasn't walking with God. Next verse. But there was a change in his life. It says, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Sorry, excuse me. I want a particular verse 24. Let's look at that. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That means he was not walking in front of God. He was not walking behind God. But because he was walking with God, when God went up, he went with him. If he was walking in front of God, are you following me? He would have gone so far, he would not know how God has gone up. So you see what I would say? It's not just, we have to practice in this end time how to daily walk with God along step. You know, like you're talking with a friend. Are you following me? So you must not be ahead. But even if you are not ahead, at least stay behind. Follow him. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Are you following? So as you practice that, there's going to come a time in your life that you carry the presence. That is the ark of God on your shoulder. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 6 verse 9. Oh, sorry, put that one in Amplified. Genesis chapter 5 verse just 24 in Amplified. 5:24. Because it explains it better. And Enoch walked in what? Habitual fellowship with God. And it was not, for God took him home with him. A type of the rapture. Genesis chapter 6 verse 9 in Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord. This is the history. Let's look at it. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and a righteous man. Blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked in what? Habitual fellowship with God. And that was why God could tell him to build the ark. Have a single dinner. It wasn't perfect. But as his generation, the Bible talked about this end time generation, talked about it, uses Noah as a type. So you can see that it's very important for us to learn to walk with God in this day. The final example I'll just read is John chapter 8, verse 29, about Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is an example, whom we have to follow. It was his habit day in, day out, he was walking along step with the Holy Spirit. What does it say? And he that sent me, let's go, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. What I want to say is that He that sent me is always with me. That any time Jesus Christ was in the carpenter's shop, He was always with God, side by side. So God wants us to walk with God. Now the issue is this: what is the problem? What hinders us from walking with God? Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. You see, it's not just, you don't just wake up and it's good to determine to walk with God. But there is a problem we have to overcome to begin to walk with God. Just follow me. What I say, behold, let's look at it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is it hear what? Heavy that it cannot hear. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But your what? Iniquities. I've done what? Separated between you and your God. And your sins are what? Hid His face from you that He will not hear. So right here we see the problem, the hindrance to walking with God daily. Iniquity and sin. What do you mean by that? When we talk about sin, we have been taught very well. We talk about the sin nature, the residual sin nature in the soul and also in the physical body. Then the second aspect, the acts of sin that produce from the sin nature. You see, if you do not overcome that nature in the soul and body, either by flushing it out or subduing it, it will be next to impossible to walk with God. Or because it will hinder you from walking with God. So you have, let us say together, the unsubdued sin nature, as in the soul and in the flesh, and then the acts of sin that we commit. You see, each time you sin, it breaks fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's why, but thank God for the Lord, when you consider that, you confess and say, and you clean, that fellowship is restored, and your life is given to you, and then you're supposed to use that life to begin to obey and to walk with God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 6. What does it say? It says, let's look at, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Next verse. Help me, Lord. Because, let's look at, because the carnal mind is what? In enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Next verse. So then, let's look at, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God or walk with God. Bible says that Enoch walked with God and He pleased Him and He took him. So we're talking about the same thing. But now the Bible in Romans identifies a problem. It says that the carnal mind is in enmity with God. We're talking about the carnal mind, talking about what makes the mind carnal is the sin nature in the soul and in the body, in particular that dominates it. So it is that nature. It says it's the enemy of God. The other aspect I'll mention again is about the acts of sin. You see, if you don't dominate that sin nature, flush it out, that's what perfection is all about, and or in the process of flushing out, you also dominate, you don't allow it to rule you, it will be very, very difficult to God. God, that's that nature, that kind of man is in enmity with God. They don't see face to face. So you can't wake up and say, doesn't matter, I love God, like Pastor was sharing on Sunday. You can sing, I love you till next year. You are going to disobey Him when the rubber hits the road. Go and ask from Peter. Are you following me? So the second thing is, I want to put the scripture behind it, the acts of sin that we commit. Psalm 51 verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is when David had sinned and with Bathsheba and, you know, like Pastor was sharing with us on Sunday. He said, cast me not away from what? Thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So you see there, the sin nature, let's say the sin nature and the acts of sin, they hinder us from walking with God. So it doesn't have to be fornication or adultery alone. It could be covetousness, pride, envy, strife. That's why you need to deal with those so-called little sins. Don't allow them to fester in your soul. Subdue them. Overcome them. Are you following me? So we can walk with God. That's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, put in verse 24, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He said that grieve not the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Let's read that. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. Next verse. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Begin to notice those things he begins to mention. Next verse. Because it was, it's a continuous discourse. Be ye angry and sin not. So if you are angry, you can sin. If you don't control it, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm grateful. Neither give place to the devil through envy, strife, adultery, fornication, whatever. Next verse. let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. Next verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edification, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Next verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Next verse. And it's not a verse. Let's just read next verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What am I trying to say? What's God trying to tell us? These are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit and hinder us from working with Him. When you begin to lie. So it's not only adultery and fornication ago. Say, let no evil or idle communication proceed out of your mouth. This same mouth, James was saying, he said, how come can the same spring water give out good and sweet and bitter? What am I getting at? You see, God has been getting across to me in recent times. You know, some of my friends, you know, I'm just on their forum or WhatsApp, just because we are old friends. I trust that I'll be able to share with them. But they post a lot of nonsense on WhatsApp. Rubbish and nonsense. You know, coarse jesting. Jest that is not convenient. Jokes that are filthy. You see, that's why we don't experience that presence. I can't think of an example. I'm not even talking about cuss words now. Things that don't edify. That's why I said when you are talking, say, don't let any corrupt. What makes what you say corrupt when it is void of the life of God? Because at the time it's full of sin nature. Say, let no corrupt communication push out of my own life, which is good, to do so edification. Is it possible for me to come here this afternoon or this evening as I'm talking? And Jesus help me. Brother, remember something. And I stand on this same pulpit and I begin to sing Fela's song. We're all laughing. But you see, what we do, what we do most of the times is we compartmentalize, we separate church from our daily walk with God. That's when I'm in church, I can't see anything wrong now. I have to be very, church lawai. I have to be very careful. And when you step out there, you know, you sing those songs that they sing. And then you think, and you're now wondering where you don't experience the presence of God. It's something we have to take it to. Because if we don't do it, like I said, God is not going to come down to your level. You have to move up to His own level. He's not going to. You see, what this message, you see, it's been some months ago, I've been saying, God, what is the matter, for God's sake? That someone like Mary Woodward Etta, I said the other day, 15 miles before where she's going to minister, people will be feeling the presence of God as she's carrying and they're falling under the power. Smith Bigglesworth wasn't going to just enter the train and he just sat down. Everybody started weeping. Please, I want to know your God. Same thing with Charles Finney. He said, if you don't think about these things, they never will find a problem. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. You see why? Those are the things that are grieving. Filthy communication. Lying, you know, not just adultery. They're those leaders in covetousness, bitterness, idle communication. You know, I believe God is the not allowing me to remember any of those things. It's not coming to me. Idle communication, idle chatter, coarse jesting. Jesting that is not convenient. Let me put this on. The easiest way you can know whether you are in line working with God is this. If you crack a joke or say something outside, I cannot say it beside Jesus Christ. If he's sitting beside you, then don't say it. If you know he's not going to find it funny, but just keep quiet. So you cannot say, okay, I'm in church, I can't say this kind of thing. No, you'll be able to say the same thing you say in church outside, or what is outside, inside. Why? Because God is there all the time. So, but his presence is not manifest. These are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. God will help us as we continue. So I put it here, the children of Israel, they walked in the wilderness for 40 years. But he never walked with God. Bible said they grieved him. The presence was there. That's why Moses was crying. He said, no, God. He said, if you don't go with us, I'm not leaving this place. There's no point. You should have to say that every morning. If you have not secured that presence by faith, say, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. It's dangerous. He said, God, if you don't go with us, we are not leaving this place. Then you know that story. He said, okay, I will go with you. showing you that God desires to go with us in our journey. He now said, if I found grace in your sight, grace is very important in order to walk with that. I will see as we continue. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm to redeem the time. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 3, 7. Where are we? Hebrews 3, 7, please. What does it say? Hebrews 3, 7. Wherefore, as what? Who said it? The Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, next verse, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, a day of temptation in the wilderness. What hardens the heart? Sin. Deceitfulness of sin. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Wherefore I was what? Grieved. Who did they grieve in the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. You see, just as I said something, Lord said, if you commit any sin against the Father, you'll be forgiven. If you sin against me, I will forgive. But look, there's a sin that is unpardonable. If you sin against the Holy Spirit. When they said that when there was a healing that took place, and they said he cast out devils by Beelzebub. When the Spirit of God is moving, you had better be quiet. They love that going to be happening in this end time. Pastor, I share something with you, that some people will just come and spit in people's face. They say, ah, maybe that's demonic. You had better be careful. If you're not, you should just keep quiet. Those are the different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He said, what? He said, that they said, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. But I said, no, Moses knows his ways and you know they only knew the acts. Next verse. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Next. Okay, let's jump to verse. It's a continual discourse. Let's just go to. Okay, next verse. Let me see. Next verse. Next verse. Say, but exalt my reality. Okay, particles of Christ. Next verse. I just want to bring out something again. He mentions this twice. He says that for some, when they heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Let's go to chapter 4. We read from verses 1 to 4. You know, it's a continuous discourse. But I want you can check it later on. But with whom? Okay, that was the verse. Just put it by that verse you showed now. Sorry, go back. But with whom was he grieved these 40 years? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned? Whose carcasses fell in wilderness? Now, always remember, when you hear the word grieve, think of the Holy Spirit. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, you can grieve Jesus, can grieve the Father, but think about him, because he's one that is resident Lord on earth today. So, go to chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me to redeem your time. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and of which seems to come short of it. Next verse. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto me, talking about the children of Israel that grieved him. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Let's not be mixed with faith. We are going to see the importance of faith in working with God as we continue. That's what I want us to read it. Verse 3. For we which I believe do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if you shall enter into my rest, although the works are finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. Last verse. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day. Say seventh day. Seventh day. The seventh day is the day we must learn to walk with God. We'll see later, because Enoch is the seventh from Adam. Are you following me? From, he said, and God did what? Rest the seventh day from all his works. So God was not about laboring for man to walk with him. So what are we saying? Israel sinned in the wilderness. They grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, what I've mentioned something earlier on, I'm not trying to rush through. I said that it is the sin nature in the soul and the body, and also the acts of sin that we commit that makes us grieve or hinders our walk with God. That is the bottom line. Are you following me? So James chapter 4, verse 1. You know, if you remember in the book of Romans chapter 8, he said that the carnal mind is in enmity with God. That means the carnal mind is God's enemy. That means if you don't deal with the carnal mind every day, you are kind of an enemy around, even though you may come to church. So the carnal mind is in enmity with God because you cannot please God. So if you are going out with the carnal mind every day, you don't subdue it, you are God's enemy for that day. That's what they did in wilderness. Say, for his, I said, James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of a loss that war in your members? The same nature. Next verse, please. Ye lost and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Next verse. You ask and receive not, because you ask and may, that you may continue upon your loss. Next verse. I think it's verse 4. Yes. Let's go. Ye adulterers. Don't say I'm an adulterer because you've not stepped on that man's wife. There's spiritual adultery. Sleeping with the spirit of Babylon. Fellowship with the spirit of Babylon. Friendship. That's what I'm getting to, sir. So it says, you know you not. Know you not that friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What is the world? The lust of, let's say, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So if you have friendship, he's not talking about going to go and play with those that are not born again. That's maybe part of it. Can influence you. But says you should walk with wise men. But he's talking about being friendship with the world. The lust, I said, you enjoy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You live there habitually. So you are an enemy of God. I follow him. He said that, therefore, whoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But God does not want us to be his enemy, because that's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63 verse 7. Let's see. Isaiah 63 verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he had bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Next verse. Help me, Lord Jesus. For he said, surely they are my people. We are all God's people. I follow him, talking about the wilderness. Children that will not lie. That's God's desire. He said, lie not one another. So he was their savior. When he came born again, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. God knows everything you go through. That's why when Paul was killing people, he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So whatever I'm going through, he's touched with the feeling of my infirmities. I follow him, said, and the angel of his presence saved them in his love and in his pity. He redeemed them and he bare them and carried them all this world when they came out of Egypt with darkness. Now, next verse. Help me, Holy Spirit. Next verse. But, let's say, but, they rebelled. And he what? Vexed the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. Let's say, God, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You see, when you begin to, I'm not talking about when you occasionally slip into the loss of the flesh. I say, just man fall 7 times. And as I begin, now you understand why you have to follow those that are carrying the ark. Because if you don't follow them, you're going to jump ahead of the ark. Being led by loss of flesh, loss of part of life, and you become God's enemy. As he turned and became the enemy, and he did what? Fought against men. You see, that's why you find out that I'll just give you the type and shadow to explain this. Those are the three darts that you have to kill every day by faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Those are the three darts that you must kill every day. Loss of the flesh, the loss of your eyes, and the part of life. You need the shield of faith to keep those three darts. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you might be able to quench all the fire darts of wicked ones. There are only three he has. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. That's what killed Absalom. It was not Joab that killed Absalom, even though he killed him. It was the three darts that were in his heart that killed him. Then said Joab, you know, when they were trying to pass, you know, preaching the other, okay, he didn't get that. Absalom and, you know, wanted to kill David and all that. And that rebellion, you know, and he hung on a tree. And then Joab, let's resist. And then said Joab, I will not tarry thus with thee. And he took what? Three darts. The lust of the flesh, let's say, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and a pride of life in his hand, and thrust them through the heart. The heart of man is just deceitful and desperate. You see, those hearts, that is the thing. There was no shield of faith to quench those darts, because they were in his heart. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So even though Joab killed him, but what killed him is what led him to this place of rebellion. So they rebelled against the spirit. I became an enemy. Like Pastor said, who killed Saul? Is he Amalekite? Is it the... No. It was God that killed Saul. I follow him. So what you see on the outside When something like this happens, like happened to have some, though you can't blame Joab. He was just an instrument. It was just that he did not quench in his walk with God that killed him. Praise the Lord. Hence the scripture, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Let's say together, can two walk together except they be agreed? See, we're not talking about walking in front now. We are not walking with him. We're walking in pace, step by step. But if you're not there yet, you all start from walking behind. When you follow those that follow on to know the Lord. Say, can two walk together except they be agreed? Let me explain further. See, we cannot walk with God because of your unsubdued sin nature in the soul and the body. I've mentioned that. Why? Because it can never be in agreement with the nature of God in the spirit. You have a life of God in your spirit. No sin. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. But you have a sin nature in your soul and in your physical body. So allow the dictates of the sin nature in your soul and your body to dictate what you do. Are you following me? It will never be in agreement, if you don't subdue or flush it out, with the life of God in your spirit. Say life of God. That is the nature of God in your spirit. And also, with the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Two things, very important. It's the life of God that gives you light and you get to love. Are you following me? But the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says that, and hope maketh not ashamed, because what the love of God is what shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart, the spirit man. The life of God is in your spirit man. That's what got you born again. So don't think those two things are there. But you cannot walk with God except the nature in your soul and your body are in agreement with the nature of God and love of God in your heart. Those two things are very, very important. Praise the Lord. So as we see, we need to make sure that what is in our soul and our body is in agreement with the life of God, so to speak, and love of God in our hearts. Then and only then can we begin to walk with God. That is the only sense of being perfect. The flushing out of the sin nature. What says, therefore, having this promise, let us therefore cleanse out, you know, all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting us of fear of God. That is why perfection is very, very necessary. In the time of Enoch, he had the sin nature everywhere, but he used what God gave him to walk with God. Just like God told Cain. He said that sin lies at the door, but you are supposed to rule over it. After he killed, or I think before he killed Abel. That means there was mercy available at that time for them to subdue that sin nature in the soul, in their spirit, soul, and body. But only a few that will know did it. Enoch did it. Noah did it. Abraham also did it. There may be some other people in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. So why is it important for us to walk God? Point number one. It helps us to walk in the fear of God and thereby depart from evil. I will explain what I mean by that. This way God brought it to me. I say that it helps us to walk in the fear of God and thereby depart from evil. So when you are walking with God, that is the reality of his presence. The pastor has taught us. You said Lord before you. At all times, he makes you walk in the fear of God. So you depart from evil. There are some things that you will not do or I will not do in church. If my wife's eyes were open and I see the Lord just Christ, maybe just sitting here. You will straighten up. In fact, you shall. If you are chewing gum. Because you can see him. You quickly. If you are sitting like this. Or you are praying and you are doing like this. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. People say, what is wrong with you? Why? Because you can see him. Then God put it to me. Each time I go out with pastor and mommy, I'm driving. There's something I don't do. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't. Sir. Well, you know, when they drop from the car, maybe they've dropped at home and I'm driving the car, I'm coming back. You know, you can just, you can. Pastor Andrew, you don't share it. I mean, go. OMG, you came out 3 hours after Lenny. You dare not say that when they are there. Do you get that picture? So when you begin to walk with God, bring about the fear of God. Depart from evil. So I cannot pass out. I cannot be in the car and then Sam is behaving. Or start singing, fella. Or, but no, this thing is there all the time. But because the reality is not, has not dawned on us, and then because we allow the sin nature to dominate us, we think it's not there. So we misbehave. And the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. If Oyinbo man, pardon my whatever, can make CCTV, how much more God?
They put CCTV abroad, everywhere, right or wrong. So if you go and do something wrong, it's recorded. So if a inborn man can do that, so you think God will do less? Your very thought is being recorded. Your very action is being recorded. When the man of God is preaching and say, "Oh my God, I just put you," it's being recorded. Yeah, so when you start thinking like that, you start monitoring everything you do. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23 verse 17. Help the Lord to redeem the time. Proverbs 23 verse 17. Are we there? Okay, thank God for that. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou where in the fear of the Lord all day long. So the easiest way, fear of the Lord is honesty and humility. The easiest way you can walk in the fear of the Lord is when you're walking in the conscious of his presence. If you see him there, and he's there, you behave yourself. And you're going, like our example, our pastor, okay. If pastor and mommy are with me, I behave myself. But see, I shouldn't wait for me to be in the car with them or the house with them for me to behave myself. As you recognize that, Bible said they are beholding your order. In the spirit, Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Says that by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So, see where the problem is? The sin nature. It's not being purged. And by the fear of the Lord, so when you purge the sin nature, you start experiencing the manifest presence of God, and then you begin to depart from it. You can't experience his manifest presence. The second point I have here is this: as you walk with God by walking in his fear, begin to tap into the secrets of his heart. Psalm 25 verses 12 and 14. I want to just go through so we don't waste time. Psalm 25. What does it say? What man is he that fear the Lord? Him shall he what? Teach in the way that he shall go choose. In verse 14. See, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and will show them his covenant. Secret of the Lord. As you alone. He'll come and tell you what he's going to do. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. How come we don't see it? Because we are not walking in sufficient fear of the Lord. So we'll teach him his covenant. What is that covenant? Writing law upon it. So perfection is easy for you to understand it. That's the covenant. That's the covenant. It's a mystery. That's the secret. He said the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Praise the Lord. I can only get that secret when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We're going to get that as we begin to end up. Praise the Lord. Now, point number three. It is those that learn to walk with God that will escape the temptation that has come to try them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. If you don't learn to walk with God, and you allow your flesh to run out like Peter, they left God behind to go in the upper room to go and fish. It was the mercy of God that kept. Their boat would have capsized. Yes, so are we there? Since because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon there. We are already in that season. It's talking about the Philadelphia church, of which this church is patterned after. That word there, kept my word, we'll get to it later. It's part of what I'm going to be talking about. He said, I'll keep you. If you don't keep that word, we'll see where that word comes in. It will leave up for him to keep you. So what are we saying? God desires to protect his people in this end time. These are perilous times. But must learn to walk with him. You are here now. The Spirit of God just says, yeah, let's go. In the same place, everybody so says, oh yeah, what do you have? Let's go. And then you move. Immediately you leave the place, something happens. Says, how come? How come? Because once you stood up, God left with you. Or you left with God. That's why you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting God myself to improve. Do know when the anointing lifts. So don't just keep preaching. For preaching's sake. Occasionally I experience it like the switch of a pump. But sometimes I don't. I just keep talking and talking and talking and talking. That's not my Lord today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Point number four. It is those that walk in his habitual fellowship with him that will be caught up in this seventh day. 1,000 years from Adam. Like Enoch, the seventh from Adam. You see, God used Enoch as a type. Enoch was the seventh man from Adam. So God used as a type of what the end time Christian should be. And you know in Hebrews, I wonder after I'm talking there, Hebrews 11, he said that by faith, Enoch was translated because he had this testimony that he pleased God and he walked with God. Are you following me? And let's read Jude verse 14. So God used as a type. That's why I said in Jesus Christ, he said, watch and pray always, so you can escape. If you're not watching and praying, you're not going to escape. Except under covering. That is important. I follow me. He said they left in a cloud. What does this say? And in a castle, the seven from Adam. We are the 7,000 year period from Adam. I follow me. But this seventh man that was born from Adam prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. But what I want to say is the seventh from Adam. When the seventh day, 1,000 year period from 7,000 years, one day below is 1,000 years. Are you following me? So there's a company of people that God is calling on himself that are going to learn to walk with him and be caught up. That is the end of the program. Praise God. The man shall come. Thank you very much, Pastor Ibrahim. So that is why it is very important for us to learn in this day to walk with God. Now, how do we walk with God as I begin to round up? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Back to what I said, Pastor Mule shared that day that struck me. Because I've never experienced it. Occasionally, I experience it. But it's rare. Maybe in the boot 10, maybe half. And it's not as if God doesn't want to fellowship with me more than that. John chapter 14, verse 21. If remember, I was sharing on Sunday about God coming to make his abode. Can you imagine? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they come and make their abode with you. What else do you want? So people are longing to be with the president in Abuja. Or struggling to enter a man's presence. That's why Moses was crying. He said, God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going, you know. When you begin to understand that God desires to fellowship with you by the Spirit, they begin to do everything to make sure you don't grieve the Spirit. What does it say? He that hath my commandments, say commandments, very important, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Next verse. That's a verse in which he says, and Judas said unto him, not Iscariot. Iscariot can never be trusted in kind of thing. How is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Then he changes it. In that place, he said, commandment. Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, say, if a man love me, he will keep what? My words. You see that word I spoke about, Revelations? Word of his patience. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. So say we need to keep his commandments, also need to keep his words. Now, what is the difference? Working with God. I mentioned that the first thing we need to learn to walk with God, we need to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to explain as time goes on. Don't forget that. It's important. It's a faith walk. You're not going to see a Lystra Jesus standing in front of you all the time. Now, keeping his commandments. What is his commandment? John chapter 12, verse 50. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John chapter 12, verse 50. What does it say? And I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. And I know what? That his commandment is what? Life everlasting. It's a commandment. Receiving life is a commandment. It's not an option. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might partake of divine nature, having escaped corruption is what? True loss. And I say, add unto this, I follow me. I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So eternal life is a commandment. It's not going to heaven. God commands you to receive life. Choose this day. He said, I've set for you life and death. Choose life that you may live. And you choose life by faith. Otherwise, faith is the first step. Are you following me? To receive life. Using these exceeding grace and promises. Are you following me? Okay. Then, John chapter 13, verse 34. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, a new commandment. We're talking about commandment here, Abby. A new commandment. You know, the first thing I said, I don't want to forget. It says that if you keep my commandment, I will manifest myself to you. So a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, not as you love yourself. You must love your fellow brother the same way Jesus Christ or God the Father loves them. Amen. To break it down, not to waste time. That's when you see somebody seeing you ask for life. But Jesus Christ said, no greater love for any man than this, to lay down his life for us. That is, you see, Pastor in his mercy has broken that into, you're not imagining what it is. You know that if I'm asking for life, I'm walking in love. God life will give light, and light will give love. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. That is the commandment, too. Commandment of life and love. Are we there? It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. No, I'm talking about walking about habitual fellowship with God. Next verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, brothers to brothers, sisters to sister. And the blood of Jesus Christ is on cleanses on us. That's how you can walk in. But if you're not doing that, loving your brother as God loves him, you can't enjoy fellowship with him. And it takes the life of God to walk in the love of God. The amount of life you have, let that thing, let Jesus Christ say, let it sink in your heart. The measure of life in you, in your soul, at every point in time that is operating, will determine the amount of love you walk in. So as we begin to end, I will all show you that there are three compartments of love. There is a degree of love that we need to walk into this end time that is not going to be palatable. That is one that cuts your flesh. When you enter into the most holy place, you pass through the veil. The veil is torn from top to bottom, from your soul down. As the Bible says, is that it talks about the veil is represents the flesh in the Bible. Talk about the book of Hebrews. I've had times on the book of Hebrews. Are you following me? So we'll see that as we move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The last point I mentioned, I said, by keeping his word. No, I left from Philadelphia Revelations. He said, what was that? Pastor, he shared his message that he shared, you know, hearing instruction. Is what is keeping God's word? It's obedience to instruction. You see, when you receive life and you begin to walk in love, that's not the end. That's why you see the prophet said, the word of God came unto me. God now whispers something to you. It may not necessarily be black and white in the Bible. He can say, turn left. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is express word that comes to you. Instruction. Day-to-day instruction that comes to you. You have the commandment, which is life and love, and you have the word of God. I'm just going to say, he separated it. He said that he that hath my commandments, which is life and love, you take that life to walk in love. Which mom was sharing with us the other about that love walk. When you now begin to walk in love, you not come to a place, but you now begin to obey his instructions. He now drops a word in your heart. Like pastor will say, I just used this text message. You know, just, boom, a tweet. Are you following me? So that is the word we keep. That's why I told the Philippians. He said that, for you have kept the word of my patience and has not denied my name. Therefore, I will also keep you in the secret place of Most High. Praise the Lord. So, there is something I want us to talk about, which you say, when you say we share the grace, communion with the Holy Spirit through grace. Say communion with the Holy Spirit through grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. We say it, but we don't know what we say. God opened my eyes to see. We say, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in love of God our Father, and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, be to us now forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. By the time you are finishing that, some people are already in the car. How do we work this out? I'll just move straight to the point. Put it on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Grace gives life. Say, grace gives life. So I say, the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. You Paul just summed it up. Not something just say. 1 Peter chapter 3, what does it say? Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your with them, you're talking about your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and has been here together of what? The grace of life. So I say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about receiving the life of God. It is that life now that takes you to the next stage of walking in the love of God. The love of God our Father. He said, you must love your brother as I have loved them. So it takes the life of God to walk in the love of God. When I start walking, using the life of God, to walk in the love of God, then I explain the last part of that scripture. And what? The communion of Holy Spirit. Then you don't vex him again. And he becomes your friend. For he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, that is your grace gives life. It's not just grace. Huh? Grace is given within, mercy from without. And the love of God our Father, not just love of God, you must walk in that love. Then can I experience communion with the Holy Spirit. Let's put some scriptures behind this. Grace gives life. We now use the life of God. We now use the life from the grace to labor in prayer. You see, John just, I'm trying to break it down. In that 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse, it's loaded. You have to labor, perhaps you labor. For the meat that endures on the entire life, you receive life by faith. They now take that life to begin to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. What is Paul? That's how you can walk in love. Love, your love work is not just you. I'm going to walk in love today. I'm telling you, before you leave here, how your wife will offend you, your children will offend you, your driver will offend you. So you receive that grace to receive life. What does he say? Paul was talking, said, but by the grace of God, and what I am, and is what? Grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I was labored. That means you take grace to labor. I was labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. When he labored, he said, labored more abundantly. I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more. So as he labored by grace, he received more life than all the other apostles. Next, let's put it to back it up. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Or you want to break it down to make it so clear to us. So when we are sharing the grace, how at the back of my mind, what I expect you to do to end up with communion? Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. We talked about Epaphras. It says that Epaphras, one who is one of you, is servant of Christ, saluted you always, but laboring. How? Fervently for you in prayers. So that life, you take it to pray. Now, the end point of your prayer, like mommy was sharing with us, actually, is to walk in love. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, sorry. Can you connect those scriptures? Please connect it at the back of your mind. What is it? For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and what? Labor. It takes labor to walk in love. The love of God, our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you get life. You pray with all types of prayer in the spirit to walk in the love of God. When I start walking in the love of God, the Holy Spirit begins to work with you and enjoy communion. Or else, if it's just saying the grace every day, how come I'm not experiencing the communion? Have you asked that question? You just say, let's share the grace. But the grace of Jesus Christ, love God our Father. How come we don't enjoy that communion? It's not religion, it's reality. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we thank you, Lord Jesus. So, I put it here because of time. God will reward the labor of love. How does he reward that labor? That abode. It now comes on the scene. I begin to walk with God every day. It takes praying with the altars of prayer in the spirit we travel, which takes us from the outer court to the holy place, to the veil, that is the flesh, into the most holy place, where God, who is love, dwells. You see, the tabernacle of Moses, I used to explain what I'm saying, has three compartments. We all know the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. But see, in the outer court, it speaks of natural love. Because it's not covered. So we need natural light to walk in natural love in that situation. Okay, but look, but they gave me a bottle of Coke. So I greeted him the next day. How are you? Outer court, natural light. Because he has blessed me, so I can bless him back. Are you following me? That's outer court. That's when you pray in your understanding alone. Maybe you just take that love prayer in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. You just say it. You know? Then you move closer. I move to the most holy place when I begin to pray in tongues. About walking in love, where you have a table of showbread and a candlestick. Incidentally, if you look at the confessions of our love, the apostle gave us, there are 12 confessions. That's with that small blue book. I play money. You see, that's why I said, Pastor, for you to enter under covering, listen, you don't enter under covering if you don't use that thing. Because in tabernacle of Moses, the covering starts from a holy place through to the most holy place. In the outer court, it is open. If you fellowship and stay there, the prince of the power of the air, the birds are flying. Elements of you are exposed to it. What takes you under covering is when you obey instruction. You take that little blue book that tells you perfect love of God. And not funny enough, there are 12 confessions there. On that table of showbread, you have 12 with the candlestick, light of the Holy Spirit. Then begin to eat it. That's what you do every morning when you wake up and begin to take those 12 confessions. Father, we confess that Jesus might have light, the Holy Spirit. Please come and help us to perfect love God in life today by the blood, and spirit. Blah, 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 blah. You take those two verses. The moment you do that, you have moved from the outer court into the holy place. You're under covering. But that's not the end. That level of block work will not cut the tape in this end time. It's good to stay there. That's the upper room where we are tiring. Are you following me? But it will not close the age. We need to go a step further into the most holy place where God, who is love, dwells. In the Old Testament, it was only one person that entered into the most holy place, the high priest. Remember I said, can two walk together except they be agreed? So you become the second person in the most holy place with God when you pray using the same principles of Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the flesh. But who in the days of his flesh? When I offered our prayers and supplications with strong kind and tears, you start out in the outer court, love every morning. You move to the holy place, then as you begin to pray with travail, that travail is now what takes you from the holy place into the most holy place. That rends the spirit of flesh. How does it rend the flesh? When are you following me? I don't want us to waste time. I believe you have a background of information on the apostle. So, you see, that veil speaks about the flesh. So that flesh, you must put the life of God in that flesh. And what gets life of God from your spirit, your soul, to your flesh is travail. Let no man deceive you. If you do not travail, you cannot walk in that level of love. You have just set yourself for offense. What I call postgraduate offense. Something that happens that you don't understand. Offense will just spring. You can't. Your flesh is, can they say that to me? Christ is formed in you. So you pump the life of God, like the anesthetic, into your flesh. So when they cut it. Wherever you go that day, you just won't respond. If veil has been torn already. Ready? You have already entered like the high priest into most holy place. And the Bible says that, you now understand, the Bible says the two shall become one. You will not become one with God, who is love, communing with him on the mercy seat. Thank you, Sir MC. I follow what I'm trying to say. You have not become one with God. That's what Paul says. I show you a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Say the two shall become one. Now become one with God in love that day, in harmony. Now begin to walk with God. That is why the Bible says something. It says the open rebuke is better than secret love. That means there is secret love. When you ask life for somebody. So these those that walk in that secret love, are you following me? They are the ones that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Every day when you pray. He said, when you pray, shut the door. Your Father sees in secret. Will do what? Reward you openly. Why? With his presence. Did we get what I just said? God have mercy on me. So I said, the two have become one. So I said, like I said, that's what happens in the Old Testament. You see, the outer court love, every Christian walks in that, except they are not just Christians. Bless me, I bless you. 90% of the church, they are there. You do this for me, I'll do a good turn, deserves another. But things begin to change when you are wronged. And in the natural, people will advise you and say, how about this, Jesus Christ? They slapped him. He said, do you think I do not have the ability to call 12 legions of angels? He was walking in love. That's where we're going to. That's where we're going to. If you don't enter the mood, you can't walk there. It's not grow. It's traveled and you have to do it every day. So you can't stay in the outer court of love. Because the same tabernacle of God, it won't suffice in this day. You have to move to the most holy place. When you're not in the holy place, now begin to, that's where you start. You know, Father, I confess our sins. Just my blood, you make that confession that you pray in tongues. You make that you're in the holy place. It's still okay. You're under covering. That is what it means to say you're under pastor's covering. That is what it means. Because the covering in the tabernacle of Moses starts from the holy place into the holy place. That's why they covered the badger skin. That's what it means to be under covering. After covering, there is no covering. You are exposed to elements of the air. It is dangerous. So covering is not, I'm under covering, sir. No, covering is obedience to instruction. Yes, my son, what does he say? Abraham, Proverbs 4. Say, keep instruction for his voice. It's your life. Those instructions that you keep every morning is what makes you under covering. If you don't keep, you are not under covering. You are on your own. O-Y-O. So what are we saying? Let me stop. So that's how we enter every day. You now enter and I begin to commune with the Lord upon the mercy seat. I begin to commune upon the mercy seat. So we start with grace. Grace gives life. Then you take that grace, it gives you life. Then you pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. As says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong kind and tears unto him that was able to sing for that, and he was heard in that he feared. Though he was so, yet lent you obedience. Obedience to instruction when you keep his word. By the things which you suffer by praying in tongues every day and travel. That's what now takes you from the outer court through the holy place into the most holy place. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. And that is where, as we close, we begin to fellowship with God. That's where we begin to walk with God. To not to practice this principle you've been taught, allowing the carnal nature to rule you is to run ahead of him. Now listen to me. So God just dropped in my heart. To walk behind him is not to do it diligently. Are you following me? God has dropped at my heart. To jump ahead of him is not to do it, to stay in the outer court. Your flesh presumption, your flesh just leads you. And it's just walking behind you. It's very dangerous. Now, to be behind him is not to be diligent. Jesus says, giving all diligence. It's not to give all diligence. You are still here, you can still see him. But that's where we all start from. I said, okay, begin to follow the ark that the fathers are carrying. So we'll be following them every day. But you see, you must come to a place where you are walking with is alongside. That's when you now take heed. You give giving all diligence to practice the same principles. Then you now convince that you are walking with God daily. And then he comes every day to make his abode with you. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We're grateful. Thank you, Father, for covering. Let's talk to God. Take me past the outer court. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, take thank you. Me past the outer court.
And into the holy place. Past the brazen.
Let's stand to our feet.
Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of people and the priests who sing their praise, Lord. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Lord, it's only found one place.
Take me past the outer court.
Take me past. Take me past the outer court. Into the holy place. Past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of
the scripture that God just dropped in my heart again to confirm what we're talking about. Of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says that which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth, is it outer court? Is the holy place? Within the veil. Whither the foreigner for us is entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Every day you must anchor your soul in the most holy place. That anchor must not be in the outer court. Neither in the holy place alone. Must go into the most holy place. Most holy place. That is, you anchor your soul on love. Because God is love. Sitting on the mercy seat. So you anchor your soul on love every day. But the Father, we confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the importance of walking with you. I come to receive mercy. I come to receive grace. To daily receive the life of God
insufficient measure to pray with all types of prayer, taking me from the outer court into the most holy place, in union and communion with you where you dwell. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. In Jesus' name. Just a minute. God, just drop something. I just want to mention it. The Bible says that many waters cannot drown love. So when you anchor your soul on love every day, and if flood in you come, it can drown you. Praise the Lord.